Welcome to another episode of Skids Up Podcast. I'm Steve, and here with me is Frank.
What's up, guys?
Darren.
How's it going, eh?
And our resident old man 3D, Burt Cameron.
Hey, what's up?
All right, let's catch up with everyone's week first.
Freaking amazing.
Old man 3D, wow.
Old man 3D.
We're changing that, Steve. I have to fill you in on that. We're changing that. Anyway.
It's old school now. It's old school.
There we go. I like that. Old school 3D.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Yeah. Awesome. All right, let's catch up with everyone's week. Who wants to go first?
Frank, you do it.
I hate going first, right? But yeah. So 10 days ago, it was the beginning of my event. I got a bunch of people came down to visit. Nobody from this podcast except for Burt. You know, I guilted into coming, you know. It's all right.
We had
49 pilots registered, a little bit less than the year before. But it was a great time. I got to hang out with my buds. I got a lot, you know. I didn't do much flying this year. I mainly just kept an eye on the field. My partner this
year. The year before? No, I don't
think. I did some of the year before I did.
Oh, we're going to have to call you out, Frank. I have been to a couple of pump flies with you recently, and I'm like, did Frank actually fly at all this event?
Man, you know, my skill set has evolved from flying. Okay, I have to give everybody else a chance to catch up to my incredible skills.
So evolved from flying. Oh wow!
Don't go from pilot into management and you know forget how to fly. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the C suites now, guys. That's the executive suite. You know. No,
I don't know. You have to clear that with Andy Ross first. Oh boy. Anyways,
at the last couple of events that I've gone to, I've had a lot more fun just talking to people and just shooting the shit and just watching other people fly. You know, that's something I'm evolving to. I do still really enjoy flying, but at my events and at events where I don't get to see a lot of people that I don't see them often, I rather spend my time talking shit and you know just having a good time.
Yeah,
but, man, so anything except flying.
Or letting somebody else. Crash your helicopter. Yeah.
Yeah, Burt flies my machines and almost takes them out. You know, he shakes them. He does this thing called crack, which is awesome.
That's old. That is old school, right there.
Yeah, he's definitely doing the 4-point TikToks. He almost did a blade stop, but he was afraid it was my machine. And he would have crashed it.
Crack with his thumb. It's like, oh man, dude, let go of that stick by mistake. Oof.
Like I don't know how he was doing crack pyro flips. And I was like, how the fuck did he does that? And I remember I went home after the event and I tried to do it, right? And I literally have my
little strange.
It definitely was really cool. I saw a lot of great flights. There was a flight of a local guy at my field and Nick, a tandem. That was a really, really good fight. Bert with the Nimbus Nitro. That was really good. That's always a good flight. Actually, I got that live on the Hangout. So if anybody wants to see it, go there and check it out. The nighttime was good. All in all, it was a good event. The food, I think I did myself this year. We actually got a food truck to come in there. So you had fresh food coming out the entire time. And the food was good, man. The food was really good. It was like half Cuban, half Venezuelan fusion. That's what they described
it as. Did I see some live of Bert trying to order in Espanol, was it?
That was Angel. I saw that video. I would never do that to Bert, but Angel Rojas, he did it.
That was Angel that did it. Rojas did it.
No, and then that was nothing. Saturday night, him, Bert, and Angel had a Tesla show off. They explained to us every feature in their cars. Yeah. So I went and got in my
better Tesla.
Oh, they were the same models.
Somebody's got to have a little bit better trim of some sorts or something.
I don't know.
More power.
I'm not going to stare.
I'm not going there.
Okay. Yeah, but, okay.
Isn't the Tesla like the old Henry Ford thing? You can have it in any color you want as long as it's black.
As long as it's electric. I think the Tesla is like a BK. You can have it your way.
You just can't have it with the gas power motor, though. That's all. Just
yeah, exactly.
not from factory. Did you see the one that they did? They took a Model S and they did an LS swap in it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Or the memes where you have the Tesla with the Honda 2000 generator in the back, with
the hybrid model.
Yeah,
that's good. That was good. But yeah, this is number six for me, and you know,
yeah.
I definitely will not be doing another one I won't be doing another one as running it. I'll be there for support next year, but I think my partner Sammy Gotts did an amazing job running the whole show. I was just there to take credit for the uninvolved and laugh, but he did a great job, and he'll be running them from now on as long as he wants to keep doing them. They're his to run.
Heck yeah!
Oh, so you're resigning from that then?
I am gonna take a back seat and do some support and help out a little bit, but I realize I prefer hanging out with my friends than working an event. So he hasn't got burnt out yet, so I'm gonna let him have the fun part.
Cool.
Yeah. No. Awesome.
So is that everything?
It's a very cool event for sure. Very nice event.
Yeah, that's about it. I flew my Nitro Nimbus a lot. I'm enjoying it very much. So,
yeah, you finally got that thing built.
Yeah, it took me long enough, you know. After all the shit I talked, but yeah, it's flying really good. I haven't had any weird things other than the clutch coming loose the first flight, but I think that's been a pretty constant for everybody. But after I tightened it down, really good.
I hear some folks are having trouble getting that thing lined up.
Yeah. I don't understand how they do
that too.
I don't understand how they have that happen if the shaft is attached to the motor.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're having issues with the actual clutch shoes themselves from the sounds of things.
Yeah, as far as I know, I haven't. The only one I've heard is about the clutch coming loose. That's the only one that I've heard. And people complaining about the.
Do you Loctite that?
Oh, dude, no, don't Loctite it. Just put the crank tool on there and just give it everything you got. Just crank, just tighten as much as you possibly can.
Even for a big guy like you?
Dude, I'm a pussy.
Really?
Yeah, you no. I had to really crank on it. It's funny, when it came loose, Fernando, the guy that flies with me, he's the one who cranked it down for me. He does auto body work and shit like that and clearly stronger, you know? These are bitch hands.
Works with his hands. Yeah. You work with a pencil. He works with his hands.
Yeah. No. I'm not man enough. I'm good at pointing and telling what to do. You go do that. You go do this. I don't. Gotcha. Hammers. I'm allergic to hammers.
You're allergic to hammers too. It's sweating.
See, I love hard work. I could watch it all day long. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice. Oh. But yeah, that was it for me. And this summer's going to be a little boring for me. I won't be doing any more events till IRCHA, but I'll be getting a lot of flights in and look forward to that.
Well, if the airlines would have given me a decent price, I would have come down. But
shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know?
Yeah. I did seriously look into it.
Bert went to Europe and came back, and 2 days later came to my event. So I don't want to hear any excuses from anybody.
Yeah, you're welcome, my friend. You're very welcome.
That's the man,
I appreciate it, Bert, though. Even though I had to give him a guilt trip. He calls me like Wednesday. He's like, dude, I'm 90% sure I'm going to get there. And then I was like, no. You're not going to get away from this one. So I gave him the biggest guilt trip I possibly could.
3 hours away. Yeah.
It's like, have I ever missed one of your events? You
3 hours.
Huh? And then I started pulling. He's like, have I ever missed one of your events? Anytime you've had something that torches, I've driven up. Yeah, and then it all worked out well.
Oh, it was five. It was 5 hours for me. Like, literally. It is like five, Frank. All the way down there? Yeah.
How is it five for you? And it's only three and a half for me.
No. Remember, I am like 45 minutes north of Tortues, and your flying field down there is like probably 30 minutes south of you.
No, it's
close. Yeah, it's like
I live 15 minutes away from the field.
Okay, but remember, I'm 45 minutes farther north from Tortues. Okay, so it's like four. It was like four and a half, realistically.
But okay,
still, it was worth it. I mean, I couldn't have missed it. I love that field. I love Frankie here. We had a great time. It was awesome. So, like, absolutely no regrets. No regrets. I'm glad I went.
Okay, nice. Bert, I didn't ask you this, but I asked everybody else, what could have I done better? And I always ask that question because I'm always trying to figure out a way to improve it.
Get more people.
That's true. I should have done better. I should have started promoting.
No, let me say something like totally joking aside. It's like any other event, right? It fluctuates year per year. So I feel like this year, just because of, I don't know, bad timing, coincidence, whatever, bad luck, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people that I know personally, like especially a lot of the BK team guys, you know, this guy had this commitment, this guy had this thing, this guy was sick, this guy, like there was a lot of that, right? So that was like 10 to 15 guys right there that didn't show up, right? So, I mean, it changes. I feel like 50 pilots was great, right? I don't remember how many you had last year.
Last year I was in the high 50s. I was like 59, 60-something, I remember.
So you probably had more pilots in the grand scheme of things this year. And if you consider the fact that I know of at least 12, maybe 10 to 12 people that were there last year that couldn't go this year and wanted to go. So, yeah. And don't forget, you're pretty much at the end of the world. Like, you're almost in Cuba. So, I mean, you might as well go to Cuba, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a very, you know, it's a long trip for a lot of people, right? So,
Yes. Hence one of the reasons why I didn't go.
I mean, the only way to go there, honestly, if you're not anywhere in Florida, is to, like, catch a flight and fly down to Miami. That's really the best way to go, I would feel like.
Yeah. Just,
I mean, God, like, if it's 4.5 for me, or 4+, I mean, it's got to be every bit of 12 to 15, 18, 20 hours for everybody else, right? It's a ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So from Virginia to me, from Fredericksburg to my house is 16 hours. From North Carolina from RCHO it's 12. And I think I'd say the same thing, maybe 11 hours to Triple Tree for Heli-X. And then it's 24 and it's 24 to Urcha. From my house.
Yeah, it takes me
24. Damn.
No, it can't be that. Frank, I've been going to Urcha for like 20 years. It takes me, well, not with an electric car, but it used to take me like almost consistently 17 hours to get to Muncie from here. So yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, you're right. It's like 20, 21 hours, 22. Yeah. I mean, it depends on so many, all it takes is one,
stop traffic,
like one accident. Traffic. Yeah. One accident. And you're like gridlocked for an hour and a half and then that fills everything. Yeah.
Dude. No, it's not even the accident. It's Atlanta. It's crossing Atlanta. Atlanta will ruin your, if you don't cross it in the middle of the night, it will ruin your life. I-75 through Atlanta. It's misery.
Hey, you got to time your departure at the right time. So Atlanta, you can go through between, I would say, noon and 2 or 11 and 2. And then if not, don't even try it until like 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
That's a good idea.
Ooh, that's a big window.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I leave to go to Urcha, I usually try to leave at like 6 in the morning. So I'm crossing Atlanta at like between 11 and 1. And if I miss that window, it's ridiculous. If it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's game over, dude. It's like done. Atlanta sucks.
Yeah. You're going to be in traffic an hour and a half, 2 hours easily.
Yeah, it does suck.
Dang.
And right, it sucks that you. Go ahead. Wayne's, go next.
Okay. Well, I haven't done a whole lot. I went and I've been doing a little bit of indoor flying, but not a whole lot of indoor flying yet. Actually, last month, the school has been busy, so we haven't actually been able to do a whole lot. I did finally order all the parts for my Spectre V2. And yeah, that hurt. It was almost the cost of a new kit. I seriously considered buying a new kit.
The V2 parts are pretty reasonable. Mm. So
they are. It was just that. So Bert, you may not, I don't know if you've been listening, but my helicopter, it ended up in the moat that surrounds my RC flying field.
Yeah.
And I haven't touched it since December then. And so bearing is gone. Pretty much every single bearing is toast. Plus the tail boom and a bunch of stuff. The main frame itself is fine, but the blades are toast. The canopy, I don't know where that is. Yeah, we're talking in Canadian dollars here too, and blades, and I still haven't actually done anything with the speed controller yet. I still got to figure out what I want to do for a speed controller replacement yet.
Is it done? Like, it doesn't boot up? It doesn't do anything?
Oh, yeah. The speed controller, there's actually parts physically blown up on the board.
Send it to Keith Williams. See if he can restore it.
Yeah.
For a fair
price. You know, I've been waiting for Kyle to announce that the Scorpion Tribunus 3 high voltage series will come out soon, but because I'm
sure it will.
After having Kyle on the show, I'm listening. Yeah, it sounds like those should be nice, but so I would really like one. But
dude, send him a message on Facebook. He always answers.
So yeah, so I don't think it's going to happen in time. So not the high voltage one, anyways. We'll see.
Hobby wing, Dad.
Yeah, they're good.
The price fair.
I hate to admit this, but I'm a bit of a Scorpion fanboy.
Attaboy.
I don't know.
Attaboy.
I don't really like to admit that, but I actually have an old Scorpion 130 that I might just throw in there. Like, we're talking before the Tribunus. This is like before the Tribunus. This is like one of the old Scorpion 130s that I still
have. I think I have a used one.
Yeah,
and I might be able to let you borrow.
Yeah, well, I have, like I say, one of these old 130s. So, and actually, I was chatting with somebody down in California there too, and he said that he is planning on going to the Ken Marshall Fun Fly, and he said he could probably let me borrow. He's got a spare 200 that's waiting for a helicopter. He said I can probably borrow that if I want to as well. So
nice.
I should that's be pretty fine.
Pretty cool.
Do it.
So
get it back in the air. What are you bringing to Ken Mark's Fun Fly, by the way?
So the plan is to hopefully bring the Spectre and the logo. I'm planning on driving down. It's going to be probably 16 hours, maybe longer, because, you know, you guys talk about Atlanta. Right? I'm going to have to drive.
Up, right?
What's that?
You're doing that solo, right? You're not partnering up with anyone.
Yeah, I couldn't get any local buddies to come with me, so I'm doing it by myself. So I'm actually going to do it over 2 days.
Okay, I'm going to
go and take a hotel halfway through. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm taking, because I'm driving, then I can take almost all my helis. So I'm going to take the Spectre, the Logo 690. I've got an old T-Rex 550 I take for an emergency. I'm going to bring my Yardbird 700 with me as well.
Yardbird.
And I might even bring my little Oxy 2 yet, too, as a backup yet too. Lots of helis in.
So who when is this, like end of April, is it?
Ken Marshall Fun Fly, it's in middle of April.
Mid-April.
Yeah. Middle of April, 18th, right?
19th, yeah. And 18th, 19th, 20th, I think. So actually this podcast will come out after that's all done, but
you guys forever.
So I'm really looking forward to going down there and hanging out with a bunch of the guys, so should be good.
I should come.
Do it.
I'm gonna shoot next year.
Do it.
Definitely. Come. Actually, I would love to. I haven't been out to the West Coast in so long. I don't even remember. Yeah, dude, it's been like forever. Because yeah, I was gonna go to Heli Rodeo. Like, I missed out 2 years in a row. 1 year I forgot what happened, and the other year it was we had the hurricane, the freaking hurricane. I forgot what one was called.
That's right.
I remember. But literally, yeah, and I had tickets. I had my airline ticket, and I had shipped my heli to Greg.
Yeah, it was cheaper I remember to ship that.
The thing. Yeah. And then they closed the airport like literally 2 or 3 hours before my flight. And I remember like, hey, Greg, I need to send you a return label so you can ship my kit back. And yeah, my kit went all the way to Phoenix and back, and my batteries and my radio, because I shipped everything. I was like, I want to travel light. I'm just going to bring my clothes and I'm good. Yeah. Yeah. And he had to ship it all back. It sucked. It was horrible.
Oh,
what a shit show. Yeah, bad.
Yeah. So, no, this will be my first time going to the Ken Marshall one, so I'm looking forward to it. And hanging out
with I heard that's a good one to go to.
Yeah. So, I also do still plan on going to Snohomish in August yet, too. That one's always a good one, too. But from what I hear, Bert, there's a whole whack of the pros that are going. Nick Maxwell, and I think...
I went to Snohomish like years and years ago. I mean, over 10, 12 years ago. I mean, that always was a fun event. I haven't been in that long, but yeah, that would be fun to go to again.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to Snohomish again this year too. So should be good. So, nice. But in the meantime, for now, it's, you know, Ken Marshall's coming up here and I'm looking forward to getting to that one. And my hotel is booked and it's now just a matter of getting my parts. Unfortunately, shipping in Canada is here is not fast. It'll be a week before I can get my parts, which is cutting it close for me to get the helicopter back together again. But, oh well. I think I should be able to do it. And, yeah. And then there was something else here now, too, that I was thinking about that... What was it now? I lost my train of thought, but oh well, nothing really super important, obviously. Other than that, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I actually really haven't done a whole lot this last month. It's just, to be honest, I've actually been quite busy, just not with flying stuff. So, and I know Frank doesn't want to hear about fishing and any of the other stuff like that. So,
no, I don't care.
What's that?
Are you done unpacking?
What, for the house?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
No, I'll never be done unpacking for the house. If I'm honest, I'll never be done unpacking for this house.
Yeah.
So
I'm done. I'm like 4 years in this house.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go next. So
yeah. So what's up with you?
Yeah, I mean, so recently I went back to New York for work, and I ended up buying a drone and shipping a drone.
Those are not allowed.
I know.
Those that shall not be named.
Yeah. It was a impulse buy, but you know, I tried the one of my friends' DJI FPV, and it was actually quite fun just flying around like you're like a jet pilot, you know, just like really fast, really aggressive, like just, you know, it's like an idiot and fun. So I picked
one up. Does that have the DJI digital video stuff too, or is it still analog?
The video is like 5 miles and it's crystal clear.
Because the one thing that I've heard is the digital is quite, you know, can get a little bit of latency in it. That's the one thing, and it's not so much crystal clear as the latency.
I mean, as far as the stuff I'm doing, I think it's fine. I'm not like going through the woods or going through like skyscrapers or buildings or anything. So it really doesn't matter so much, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of latency for me.
So. Cool.
So far, at least what I've used it from a couple of flights.
So where are you going to actually fly it?
I fly it everywhere. I just flew it right in my backyard and flew around my neighborhood to the high school, back, 2-4 miles. I don't care. What are they going to do? No one's going to do it.
It just takes one redneck with a rifle.
Yeah. Good luck. I'm at like 400 feet. Like, you got to really be trying to like something. Because I don't want to hit a tree. Like, Virginia's full of like tall trees. So, like, I go up like at least 300 feet in the air. So I'm not worried.
I don't know. I've lost respect for you, Steve.
Good.
It's all right, Steve. You're a drone guy now. I'm a planker. It's all right.
Yeah, you are a planker. Yeah.
Actually, I got two more planks.
But beyond that, I've been flying a freaking shit ton. I've been flying tons of packs. Like every I only fly one day a week, right? I fly that Sunday, fun day type of deal. But I've been averaging about 15 or 16 flights that day. And within like a 3-4 hour span. So like I've been really busting out a bunch of flights. So getting comfortable, bringing stuff lower, you know, and I'm building some video content regarding that and doing some other stuff with trying to just, you know, highlight some stuff and get people to like think about what flying more as the season kind of starting back up. Beyond that, I've been working on some shipping out a bunch of motors for Eagle Drift. I'm doing basically helping out with the event support. So Ken Marshall's motor, that was already shipped out, but I have a whole bunch like Palomar, Headley's over Apache Pass. There's a whole list of motors I got to ship out. So I'm going to be shipping a bunch of that stuff out. So I've been working on that for a bit. And yeah, really messing with Radio Master. I got a TX-16S. I got a Rotor Flight Flybrawls unit. And yeah, just waiting for some servos. And I'm going to get a RAW 500 built out and get that all set up with Rotor Flight and fuck with that and see how that, you know, $80 Flybrawls unit works out.
So you haven't actually flown it yet?
No, the helicopter, I'm waiting to build that out still. So, and also, I had to do a RAW 500. And okay. I had to do a bunch of, like, mods on the transmitter. I really hate that it has a momentary switch on the right side where I use throttle hold. So I basically swapped out the switches for now like a two-way switch on the back. So I think I'm ready for it to get set up. I've been flying the Gooski S2 on it, trying to get used to the gimbals and stuff. They're Hall Effect gimbals, but they don't feel... They feel kind of like cheap. So...
Really?
I might have ordered... AG01s for it.
It doesn't come with them?
No, that's an option.
Oh,
I bought the transmitter used from James Cadiz. So like I didn't have an option of like what gimbals it came with, just whatever he had, he sold it to me. So it had like the default Hall Effect gimbals, but they're plastic and they kind of feel like whatever. They feel okay, but they don't, you know, I don't know. I'm really used to the AG01s that I'm flying on my V control still. And so I ordered those gimbals and they should be coming in tomorrow, I think.
I honestly thought that the TX-16 came with those AG01s. Okay.
No, that's a $100 option. It's like $350 for the transmitter with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still have your V control, right?
I do. And I still use AGV01's Vs on there. It works. I'm never going to update it. I don't care how many times Peter Russo says, we are not pushing any updates to break it, so you can update it. Sure.
But wait, you're not flying you have them on a touch or, mm-hmm. or
yeah.
do you? On the new Evo or?
No, the old,
oh, the old touch. Okay.
So I have it on the old touch and I still have it on a version that came out before this gimbal came out.
Okay.
So I know they say that they're not planting any checks or any bombs or anything that's triggering a software lock or on, you know, the screen of death. But I swear people are like I've been good. I've been running it. Oh, I wanted the stupid Dragon of the Year, whatever update. So they do it and boom, next time their shit is bricked. And, you know, and then Peter's like, no, we're not bricking anything. We're not sending any signals to brick anyone's thing. I don't know.
I don't want to turn this into a political conversation.
Yeah, do it.
Do it.
All right. I know for a fact that the CRC checksum of the firmwares are changing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can tell you. So if you have a V control and you have the gimbals, just make sure your Wi-Fi is turned off.
Yep.
It's not set to run or auto start, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
because your firmware will change, or it probably already changed. Now I don't know why. And you know not what? Why. I can't listen. I can't say anything bad about Mikado.
They have every right to do this, anyways. Like they do. They have every right. Yeah, I'm not disputing that.
Absolutely, 100%. They
have
the right.
I would agree with you, and I'm going to interject here. But when they ask you to hot glue a board, they can't give you crap about anything else, right? Let's be honest. Like if it was,
spacers, or you would short out your damn V control touch because there's a gap issue.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the screws. Remember the screws were too
spacers, and yeah, the screws were too long. That was even the old version. The classic had the screws that are too long.
Yeah,
but listen, I never glued anything, and I have two Evos still flying to this day with no issues.
Oh, I have one that doesn't fly for shit.
I had one that was so bad that every time I would do a TikTok, it was a quarter inch tail kick. Yeah, out of nowhere. I don't care. The tail's not holding today.
Yep.
But that's probably the servos you guys run.
No, I've tried it with different servos. I've done the same setup, and I just go swap that to a regular Neo, and no problems. Like
I'm just kidding. I fly the same servos. I think they're the best servos in the world. But
talk about that's a hell of a plug. I got to learn how to make plugs like that. Yeah.
No, I mean the whole thing is weird. We have to be honest. The whole thing with the gimbal thing and the Mikado and the Evo and the Neo. You know, I'm frustrated because I want to get a couple more Neos, and I can't get them. I can't get them. They're just not out there. I don't want an Evo. I want a Neo. Can I get a Neo? Frank, you have some Neos.
You have to buy it. You have to buy a V-Control Touch.
I have five Neos. I have five Neos.
Oh, you suck. I have to buy two V-Control Touches.
Yeah, you got to buy the combo to get the Neo.
I know. Yeah, I know. I only need to spend like $2,400, and then
if you were to buy it, and then you could just flip those V controls for retail price. Someone would buy it.
You could autograph those V. It's like, hey, third case special edition. Autograph it.
More. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right there, and then number them for that Neo. 01 and 02.
Yeah, that's all I need is one and two.
Number them one of two and two of two. You can call it the BK special.
Radio Frankie?
No, I won't, but I...
I'm sure there's some BK fanboys out there.
I still have a set of blades that you autographed from me in 2016, dude. I still have it in my garage.
Yeah, that's when you were new to the hobby. You were starstruck.
So green.
And then then I became friends with these assholes. And then I'm like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't care anymore.
I'm purposely staying quiet because I actually have a spare Neo sitting here that I don't. I'm not planning on getting.
Stay
rid
quiet.
Of.
I won't do that to you, my friend. So what I'm going to do is I won't even say what I'm going to do because then people are going
to
get mine.
Yeah. Don't do it. No, yeah. Don't give your ideas, your tricks away. All right. Let's switch it up to Bird. So. We're going to kind of go into what you've been up to for a little bit. I know you've been to Amps recently. And then I want to go into kind of like what BK Hobby's been up to with Tron and XL Power and branching out with all these other brands. And then your experience at Roto Live. So I think those are going to be some good topics to talk about. So, what you been up to first?
So this past week, really not a whole lot. I had a very short 24-48 hour trip I had to do for my other business, which is boat related. But other than that, like just work, man. We just, you know, like Frank said, going to Miami, you know, got back from Germany, literally trying to catch up. My poor yet beautiful, awesome wife, Susie, took care of the shop and everything that was happening while I was gone. Just getting back and trying to get, you know, I've been to Europe, I'm not exaggerating, 100 times in my life. I mean, I was born in Germany, so I traveled to Europe so many times. Every time coming back to the U.S., coming home, it gets me, the jet lag. Going there, it's easy. Coming back, it just destroys me. I don't know why. don't know if it's because I don't know what it is, but it literally I was feeling like crap until the morning. I got up Friday first thing in the morning to drive to Miami. I was like dragging my feet and like super tired, but you know, got back, got my stuff sort of caught up, not really, but half caught up, and then drove to Miami. And what a great time at Frank's event. Although you owe me, Frank, because you never brought me any arepas, none of that good
stuff. Dude, I had a food truck there for you. We recorded you stuffing your face. I like, you're like looking at, I ate too much. I don't want to eat anymore. Okay, you don't want to eat anymore.
What did you eat? What? So this food truck, you guys keep on talking about this food truck. What kind of food was it? Like, what was it? Was it sandwiches? Well, I'm not sure. What kind?
No, dude. It's so much more than that. It's
like platters. Like or?
No, dude. So it's like they made the food for you fresh right there. But it was like Cuban / Venezuelan cuisine, which was really good. And Bert, what do you think of it? You tell me.
The food truck is like food truck was like I mean anything and everything, right? Frank is like. I mean, you name it, whatever you want, like actual, like real dinner, real good food. Yeah, you could have a sandwich if you want, but you could have a steak in anything, everything. Okay. Awesome. Really good. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I ate was really good.
Sure. No, I ate there like four times in 2 days. Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
But it was not genuine Cuban food either. It was kind of a blend of like Venezuelan, Cuban, Colombian, whatever. All like good stuff. But yeah, so Miami was great. And then I had to drive from there to Bradenton to take care of, again, other business issues. I was there through Tuesday and then back home to just get caught up again. And then, like, this weekend, I did nothing. I actually wanted to go flying because I've been really enjoying the flying lately. But I was like, nope, just I need it. I need it one of those weekends where you don't do anything. You just nothing. Just sit on the couch, watch bad TV, like, and just spend the weekend doing nothing. And it felt good. It really helped. So I'm ready to go again. Where are we going
next? Nice. You know... That I was going to ask this question later on, but since you kind of brought it up, I was going to ask you. I've been in the hobby for quite a few years myself, and watched a lot of different social media stuff over the years, and including from you. And in what I've been observing this year, it almost seems like you're trying to make a little bit of a concerted effort to go back and actually go back to the roots and actually enjoy the hobby again. Would you say that's actually true, that you're actually trying to get back to actually enjoying flying again rather than just only strictly focusing on the business kind of thing?
No, I am actually, I'm not trying to make an effort. I am genuinely 100%, at least for now. I can't say that's not going to change, but okay. I'm genuinely 100% enjoying the hobby again.
Nice.
And okay. I'm having a freaking blast. And I'm not going to try to discredit any brands. Listen, here's what I think that happened to me. When I made the decision and had my discussions with the Italians, you know, the owners of SAB, that, you know, it's not like we had an argument or a fight or nothing like that. I mean, we still have the whole line of SAB. I'm still an SAB boy, hardcore. I mean, but you got to also understand that I've been flying SAB. I was part of the SAB team since before the SAB team existed. It was me and Tariq Alsadi in 2011, September, you know, 6-8 months ahead of the release of the very first ever made Goblin. Mm-hmm. And I have not flown, built, or done anything with any other helicopter since that time. You're talking 12 and a half years of flying nothing but SAB. And not to say that there's anything wrong with SAB. I love SAB. It's still on my core. And I can't wait to get my hands on the Il Goblin, very beautiful Italian.
Il Goblin.
But there's something, and I probably never, I'm being 100% honest here. I don't think I ever felt this way about, you know, trying something else. I never even looked in any other direction because I've always been very happy and satisfied with the package that SAB had to offer. And the fact that as a retailer and distributor, I was selling SAB. And I mean, why should I look elsewhere, right? But after this lengthy conversation in the late, I would say fall of last year, and we came into this agreement, it sort of started by them, and I was really disappointed by their decision. And then, you know, we're no longer the exclusive distributor. And we discussed this, and they said, we still want you to be a distributor. And I said, well, if I'm not exclusive, I need to start stocking other stuff. And they weren't happy at first. Anyway, after many conversations, we reached an agreement. We agreed that I was still, you know, that BK Hobbies would still exist as a distributor in SAB USA. We still supply the dealers with product, but they were going to start selling direct to a select group of dealers and this and that. I said, well, I'm going to stock other stuff. And again, after a few conversations and finally we all agreed on that, I decided that if I'm going to stock other brands, I want to test the other brands because I really didn't want to jump into sending an email, hey, I want to order this, this, and this, and that without trying it and convincing myself that these other brands were going to be worthwhile. And just honestly, like flying these other brands, building these helicopters, I don't know. It sparked something that I hadn't felt because I'm so used to. And again, SAB in my eyes is still, and I can't say it's the best heli out there, but in a lot of ways it is. In a lot of ways. They all have their pros and cons, but in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to the build experience, I feel like SAB is still number one. I really do.
Yeah.
But like getting to that point where like I'm building something new and this is so unknown and like,
it's different.
You know, it's like going back to like the really, really old days where I was trying to figure stuff out and like, because I feel like I've been on top of, modesty aside, I feel like I've been on top of like my knowledge, you know, my, what do you call it? Like, I'm like above everything else in terms of like SAB. Like I could open like from the box and without even looking at the manual, because I talked to Enrico for so many times and I knew about the designs and I knew what's coming out, what's happening. And I would get the pre-prototype or pre-production version. And then it was like, okay, time to build. And it's like, okay, it's built. So like going outside the box and the unknown, that's just created a spark to where like, it's just kind of refreshing and like,
okay,
really kind of cool and interesting to like try something new. And now I feel like I'm enjoying, because I feel like the sky's the limit now in terms of what I do, what I fly, what I experience. You know what I mean? Like, it's like going to Miami and Frank's like, here, fly this thing. And I fly the shit out of his helicopter, almost wanting to crash it and letting him do it live and having fun while doing that. Yeah. And not thinking, hey, Frank, be careful, dude. Like, that's, you realize that's an Excel power. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, right.
That's kind of what I was
anymore.
That's kind of what I was thinking. It just from what I keep seeing of you with, you know, from Fun Flies and everything else, just it really does seem like you're just enjoying everything a lot more. So that's why I was sort of asking that question, right?
Yeah, but correct. And you nailed it. But it's not, I want people to know that it's not like I'm forcing myself to that, because I've been in the hobby for so long that I've had, and to me the hobby has always been like a very cyclical thing to where like I'll go through 6 months where I have no interest. I don't really give a shit. Pardon my French. And then I'll go through like a year or two where I'm like totally into it. And then it has its ups and downs where I'm like really into it, not into it. I'm always into like, I owe the hobby too much. And I'm always into like going to events and hanging with friends. You know, all of you guys, like, you know, we make all these, you know, just forever lasting relationships because of the hobby. So the part of me that likes to go to events and likes to enjoy myself within the hobby, that's always been there. But the part of me that enjoys sharing, like, the passion for the hobby, the flying, all that stuff, that's kind of like at the peak of what it's been in the last several years right now. Mm-hmm. And I hope it lasts. But yeah,
that's good to hear.
100%. I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, that's good to hear. I think that's one of the catches, is especially if, you know, and I remember, I know I asked you this last time about, you know, how to balance having it as a business income as well as still enjoying it. And I think it's really nice to hear that you're actually finding some enjoyment and, you know, cause like you even commented earlier, you actually really thought about going to the field just to go fly one, you know, the other weekend. And I'm like, that's the kind of thing I like to hear is somebody with your caliber, with your, exposure and whatnot. Well, you know, well known in the hobby like that, who just wants to just go out to the field and not even worry about testing or anything like that. Just let's just go and have fun and fly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, it's for me, it's cyclical, but I'm having a lot of fun in this particular moment in the hobby. Yeah.
Let me ask you, since you've been flying more often and flying more models and more different things, like, have you felt like maybe some of your skills are kind of coming back, or like your confidence in your maneuvers and stuff? Because I know you always say, oh man, I'm so much slower than I used to be and blah, blah, blah. And I can't fly like I used to, even though you throw down an amazing flight.
I mean, the skills never really go away. The speed does. Like, my reflexes are not like they used to be. I do feel more comfortable than I did 3 or 4 months ago, by far. I do feel more comfortable because I fly more, but I feel like I have to, I'm stuck in a rut in terms of, like, I'm becoming a little bit more versatile with doing a wider range of maneuvers, but I still need to, like, take it a little bit more seriously and, like, revisit some of the stuff I used to do very comfortably. And I don't do it anymore just because of, I don't know, laziness or fear of crashing or whatever. Like, I don't like going to an event and doing like a super badass technical maneuver 100 feet off the ground, you know, and sort of like awkward. I like to do stuff, you know, the best I can. So if I'm going to do a rolling circle, I don't want to do it 150 feet off the ground. I want to do it, you know, 10 feet off the ground or 5 feet off the ground. So that kind of stuff I need to work on. And that, I wouldn't say that goes away, but yeah, if you don't do that for a long time, you feel rusty and you feel like it's hard, you know, it takes time to get back into that rhythm. So I'm slowly getting there. I feel there's an improvement, but it just takes a lot of flying. It just takes a lot. The older we get, the more flying it takes to get there. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that feeling.
No doubt. No doubt.
Awesome. So we kind of touched base about it, you know, flying all these different brands. So, yeah, like with BK Hobbies expanding into Tron, XL Power, X Guards products, like all these new products, like talk to us about that. Like, obviously, you know, the whole SAB thing kind of opened the door for that. But like now, like, are you guys thinking of other brands now? Like, what's the future of this? Like, where is it going to go?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. More and more are coming for sure. So I still don't have XL Power parts. I'm working on that right now. That's our next thing. And then, yeah, there's a bunch more. There's a bunch more. So it's no secret, we're a small family-owned business, right? So and the hobby business is a really difficult business because, like, a lot of people, so number one, the margins are not there. Like, the margins are good, but by the time you consider the inbound shipping costs, and the outbound free shipping costs, and then you have a credit card or PayPal fee, and normally you sell stuff during a sell period. By the time you factor all that, you're literally earning 10 single digit margins. Like, you know, you got to sell 100,000+ to make 10 grand. But then you also have to consider the fact that a lot of the stuff is what we call it's C type inventory, in the sense that, you know, let's say I'll bring, like, you know, XL Power parts, and there's every bit of 500 or 600 SKUs for that. Well, out of the 600 SKUs, probably like 500 are C type inventory, meaning you have to have it, but it doesn't really move like often at all. So you make a 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you make like a, say, $20,000, $30,000 investment. You're not going to get that money back for who knows how long, because you got to rely on the A inventory, which is kits, maybe like the real like perishable, like, you know, breakable parts, like, I don't know, landing gear, canopies, booms, kits, like things like that, to generate enough profit to be able to pay for all the other stuff that you're going to have sitting on the shelves for a couple of years before you do a complete turnover. But you yet still have to have them, because yeah, if you don't have them, you're not supporting the brand, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of financial and human resources to bring in a brand, especially for a business our size, because there's like, you know, there's importing the stuff into the system, and then you got to like add the pictures and the descriptions, make sure your costs are correct. Then you have to add it into a separate piece of software, which is the inventory management software that creates all the purchase orders. And you got all this big convoluted, you know, process to add a new product line. Then you got to find space in the warehouse. Then you got to find your locations, and you got to add those locations to the software so that when somebody orders part number HA052-S, you know where that is, right? So it's a huge undertaking for a small business like ours. So slowly but surely, that's the goal. Like, you know, in the next few months, we're going to have many more brands and a lot more options, and not just heli brands, but like other stuff too. Yeah, like chargers. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff. Yeah,
so
nice. That's the whole goal.
So yeah. Are you distributing this, a lot of this, or are you going to be just an end dealer is basically only what you're going to be with a lot of these brands?
So, we're still distributors for SAB. I can't speak for XL Power. I'm sure Frank cannot either, but not in terms of that. But I know with Tron, we're working out a deal to distribute, not exclusively, but we will be distributing some Tron product to the smaller dealers that don't have the purchasing power, the ability to purchase a volume that's large enough to justify going directly to the factory. Right. And then obviously we're the distributors for Theta, but that's, you know, that's a different deal there, and yeah, NX Nova and other stuff like that. So
yeah,
but
I'm thinking right now as far as that.
Yeah, no, we're focusing more on the retail end of things. I think that, you know, distribution was great up until, you know, a few years ago. But the problem with distribution is that, again, the margins keep shrinking, you know, ever since COVID with the ridiculous price hikes of shipping. Yeah. It, when you do the math, I mean, distribute a product, if it's a bulky product like a boom and a canopy or like a larger kit, I mean, you're basically making nothing. I mean, I remember pushing these huge orders to big dealers like A-Main Hobbies and looking at the total value of their order and looking at our net profit, and it's disappointing. It's like, yeah, really? Literally, we put 10, 15 man hours into this order to make $300, like it just doesn't make sense. You're better off going to, I don't know, work at the drive-through at McDonald's. You probably make more because I think they're paying like $20 an hour. No, I'm not kidding you. A true story. Yeah. There's no profitability in distribution with large bulky items in the hobby industry. There's just not. The last couple, 2-3 years, we distributed SAB. And we just did it because we were running on autopilot, you know, since 2017. But being 100% honest, it's just not. Every order is different, right? Every circumstance and situation is different. But if you are a dealer and you wanted to buy 20 booms and 20 canopies from us tomorrow, we would literally lose money to sell you those 20 booms and canopies. I'm not kidding you. It's a true story.
Yeah.
Now, if you bought 100 main shafts, we would make a lot of money. Yes, decent money. But if you order 20 booms and 20 canopies or 10 booms and 10 canopies, we would lose money. So it's just not the distribution model. It's just not viable. And we don't have in the United States as many dealers today as we had 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, we didn't have as many as we had 2 years before that, and so on and so forth. And when you look at the dealers, who's out there that's really selling all the brands, right? In the high end, as I call RC heli industry, A-Main and Helidirect. Who else is there? There's lots of them. I mean, we have a lot of dealers, but they're small guys, and nothing against them. They're awesome. And I appreciate each and every one of them. But, you know, they buy two kits here, one kit there. You know what I mean? They're not, they don't generate the volume to justify distribution. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's a different world.
So I was actually interesting talking with somebody that I know on Sunday, just on the weekend. And he's had a small little, this is completely not, you know, RC related, but he's got himself, has had himself a small little home based business for a number of years that he's been doing. And now he just had to go and shut it down. And it's kind of the same kind of thing as what you're talking about, Bert. It's like, you know, his costs are going up so dramatically, massively increase every single day. And he's trying to justify, it's like, well, if I go and increase my prices, then I'm going to go and sell less. And I can't go and find that right balance to go and get the prices. And he was taking in, he said, about $10,000 a month, but once all of expenses and everything like that was paid, it was less than $2,000 a month. And that was just, that's what he needed to go and support his whole family, to go pay rent and all that stuff. Yeah, and I just can't do it. I just,
yeah, you know, and then just you, can't, and then you gotta consider, so like,
we had to shut it down.
Yeah, and you know what, $2,000 a month is okay. I wouldn't complain about that. But the question is, how many hours do you have to put into the big business time to make $2,000, right? Because if you're only putting, you know, if you only have to put 20 hours, that's awesome. You're making, you know, 20 hours, you're making $2,000. That's great. You have plenty of time to go on and have another job, another business, whatever it is. But if you're putting a full 40-hour a week, you know, like full-time sort of.
This guy was putting in more than 40 hours a week, way over 40 hours a week. This guy was.
Well, there you go. And then you're making $2,000 a month. I mean, you're making what? Like $5 an hour? Like it gets to that point where it just doesn't make sense anymore, right?
And for him, it just wasn't even, it doesn't even pay for his mortgage or his rent or anything like that. Like $2,000 a month, I'm paying more than $2,000 a month just to rent this house that I'm in, right?
Oh yeah, that's what my mortgage is, and I'm like, and I have a hell of a good mortgage. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so he's just couldn't do it, and I can see it's unfortunately that's what is happening right now with especially the post COVID stuff. I think it's almost like a lot of things are coming into it almost like a natural reset kind of thing. Unfortunately, it just means a lot of businesses are going to have to shut down. I don't like it, but unfortunately, it's a reality too, right?
Yeah, and I'm seeing that across the board, not just in the U.S., but I'm seeing that in Europe with a lot of businesses that have been struggling, and I'm just seeing it everywhere, especially in the hobby industry, and it's sad. It's sad. I hope it doesn't happen, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the economy's really bad, yeah.
So you just brought up Europe. How was things like Rotor Live then that way then too? Was there a lot of discussion about that? Yeah, how was Rotor Live in general? Live,
because there's a lot of new stuff, which is awesome to hear. And I want to go over some of that stuff. So,
All right. What do you want to know?
Obviously, being a team, you know, SAB guy, I want to hear about the Ill Goblin. Like, you know,
the rocking.
Is it a raw with just a cracking boom on it, or you know?
Come on, you're a team guy, dude. Actually, I'm a little bit out of the loop, although Enrico still shares a lot of stuff with me. I can tell that there's a little bit of secrecy going on, but I still get him to tell me stuff that he probably does not want to share with me. And and even if he doesn't want to share it, I can share it with you guys, with the public, because I think it would help some of the misconceptions about this Ill Goblin. So first of all, Sorry, Enrico. I love you to death. We're friends for like I don't know how many years, but Il Goblin name is kind of gay. I don't like
yes.
it.
Yes, but, yes,
yeah. Do you guys agree? I just get.
I agree 100%.
I don't think it's ill, like it's sick or it's. It was cool, ill, but
that's what I told them. I'm like, in English, you don't say Il Goblin, you say Il Goblin. So ill is like it just sounds like it's sick or something, right? Yeah. So, but I get the concept behind it. Mm-hmm. He compared it to something else I don't want to talk about, but it's a very Italian way to like emphasize the fact that the helicopter is the concept and the design and everything is Italian. And I get that. So, but what is interesting is that some people have criticized this based on the few pics or videos they've seen from Road Alive. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, I think it's actually a big step forward. I think SAB has been overdue to have something new. There's a lot of cool stuff out on the market. I mean, look, Excel has done the world. What is it called, Frank? The World Champion Edition, whatever it was called. Yeah. Actually, the NME has been released since the Raw was released. Then that's just Excel. Then you have Tron with the 7.0 Advance and the Dynamic. Then you have our friends at Goose Guy releasing the RS7. Then we have Jonas designing and the guys from OMP, Jeff, the M7. There's the Steam, which I don't think the Steam is at the level of these higher end machines, but it's still a very high quality machine for a very reasonable price.
Very reasonable.
Then you got then you got Align doing new stuff. Then you got I mean, there's so many brands out there. So SAB was overdue.
Yeah.
Now, what is cool and what I like about the Il Goblin is that it takes the Goblin model back to its roots, where it brings that molded boom, design that literally is what made Goblin what Goblin became, is because of that intricate, weird, molded carbon fiber body, right? I mean, that's what made Goblin what it is. I mean, that's the roots of it. So it brings that back, but it brings it in a more streamlined way, a more efficient, lighter weight, sort of way. And yet with a lot of upgrades and the bigger 15mm main shaft, with the lighter transmission, with like the quick release battery, which they've been doing on the smaller machines, but now they're doing it on the large machine. I mean, they're adding a lot of stuff to it. And on top of that, you're going to be able to make it a Raw style helicopter with a traditional, round, I don't know what the dimensions are in terms of the thickness, but a regular boom like a Raw, or you're going to be able to have it with the molded boom, right? So no, I think with
the same mount as well, he was saying in that video that with the same mount that you don't need to change the mounting system to mount either the boom or the tube style or the fuselage style.
Correct. And only held to the mainframes by I believe four bolts. Yeah, four bolts. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that might be subject to change. It's still a little early,
that was the prototype, and that's one of the things that I think a lot of people didn't understand is that when they did that release, that was a prototyping release. So things were going to change, colors, servo placement, things like that, right?
Yeah, and that's the issue that I have in general, not with SAB, but with Rotor Life, mm-hmm. right? A lot of manufacturers have ideas, or perhaps a very raw or crude or early prototype, right? Growing up, but it's like, oh, it's Rotor Life. We have to show it. And they're rushing to showing it sometimes without having like really a final prototype or even a pre-production version. They just, oh, like, we have to show it because this is our chance. The whole world's watching. It's Rotor Life. We have to have this shown, right? And I feel like SAB rushed into showing this a little too early. But with that said, I think that it helped a lot in the sense that I know that they used all the constructive criticism or the bad or the criticism in general, period, to, yeah, or the feedback, whether positive, negative, to refine that prototype. And I know that they're moving forward pretty quickly when it comes to making changes and this and that. So the servo, for example, is not going to be outside the boom. I know that was like a big deal that was criticized by everybody. It's like, why is that servo out there? It looks weird. Yeah. So that's not going to be the case. There's a few things they're doing like that. Some people are saying, why black landing gear? Well, it's not going to be black. It's going to be white landing gear. But it's, again, it's a prototype, right? So So that, yeah, they're listening. They're listening, which is cool. It's really nice. Well,
so you did kind of mention that, you know, with it being Road Alive and a rush to kind of get something out there, do you think that this is going to be a model that's going to take a while to actually be released? Because that can hurt, you know, make or break a new model being exposed. Is the time that they, you know, talk about it and release information about it to the time it actually gets put into production. If that window is too big, models can die in that time, you know?
No, I know. Based on what I've been told, no, that was my main concern. I remember the Genesis, a different variation of the Genesis being shown last year at Road Alive and never making it to fruition. Well, to Enrico's defense, he had heart issues, health problems. Yeah, he was out of commission for at least 4 months last year. So obviously that put a big, it was like slammed the brakes on any project that was pending. So they decided to put that on hold. I don't think that's going to happen this year, based on what I've been hearing and what he said to me as early as a couple days ago. That thing's coming sooner than we think. It's not going to be in 6 weeks or 4 weeks. But it's not going to be late summer or end of the summer either. It's coming in the next 2 to 3 months, as a release product. Hopefully, that's what I've been told. They're aiming for sometime in June or somewhere in there. So it's not going to be a long wait. It's going to be 2 to 4 months, you know, give or take, right? Until we see it in a box. Yeah,
that's way sooner than I would have thought.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome to hear. And the other helicopter that they released was the Genesis Competition. Now that thing looks way different than like the original Genesis. It doesn't seem like it's just like a competition version, or like it looks like a V4. Like it looks out of the world, that canopy scheme and the way it looks.
I talk
about that model.
I actually know not a lot about that, but you know what? I was very impressed with that thing firsthand, because I have never really cared whatsoever for anything that's F3C FAI. But
same.
That is it. But that thing is different, dude. That thing is like, I don't know. I think that thing will. Will handle 3D amazingly. And you know, it's got this new main shaft with the bearings, sort of like the 500 or the Raw 500 or the new Raw
gear train. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it a lot. The exposed gear with the belt, single stage. Yeah, very simple. And it's massive. It's a big machine. I'm impressed. I don't know what the timeline for releasing that thing will be, but it's not going to be a cheap heli, but it's probably going to be the first quote unquote F3C or whatever it's called heli that I've ever owned. Cause I never cared about the original Urukais or the Anio Grabber edition or the World edition, this thing is cool. This thing is really cool.
It looks cool.
Yeah. It's different. Yeah. It's really cool. So, and you know, of course you have the haters that don't like the open canopy design, and then you have the ones that do. I think the canopies look amazing in person. I think that kind of an open canopy design yet with the It's got that recessed. It's not a recess. It's like it's tucked in. Like it's got this radius coming inwards, and it just mm-hmm. it looks so good in person. Yeah.
Dude, where like the Goblin logo, where like the G, where it folds into it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like a black plate there. Yeah, it looks really cool.
For sure.
Yeah, I actually like the Ilgoblin without the canopy too. I like the way it looks. Just kind of like that carbon naked front within that like really colorful boom and that thick, you know, megaphone type of boom. So
yeah, no, I agree.
Excited to see that. What else? What else was at Road Alive? I know Tron had some big announcements with their new 5.5, right? Talk some about that. I know you did a bunch of flying those helis.
Yeah, so, Tron has their, they just announced their new 5.5, which is basically a 550. It's a true 550, kind of like a Nimbus. But they added a bunch of updates to the previous version they had. I mean, they have like, I don't know, 20, 30 different updates to that thing. Bigger main gear, bigger one way, bigger main shaft, different head, adjustable like tilt belt idler, fully, aluminum CNC battery trays for them. Like they got a bunch of stuff coming out with that heli. So that's really cool. And a lot of people had a lot of confusion about the fact that they have, I don't make these decisions, but they have the Orion and the Gemini, right? And so everybody's like, what is the difference? The difference is nothing more than the shape of the canopy and the shape of the lower frames.
Yeah, that's it.
So a lot of people are confused about it. And I'm like, there's nothing to be confused about. It's like there's nothing really to be confused about. In the same way that you can buy a raw 700 in white and orange or in yellow, it's the same way you can buy a new Tron 5.5 in this style or that style, Gemini or Orion. The Orion is like this pointy, very classy, streamlined look, and the Gemini is just kind of squared off, weird looking, looks like the literally like the Tron movie, like all squared up, like a cyber truck, it's yeah, it's just a different look, but they're basically the same helicopters. You can buy the Orion and then a month later go like, no, I like the Gemini look better, and all you got to do is buy two lower frames and a canopy. Nice. Or just even a canopy, and you're good to go. So yeah, so that's the only difference. It's just two different options for the same helicopter that transcend beyond just being two different color options, which I think is kind of cool. But in the end, it's the same heli. That was pretty cool. And then,
what's the difference with the lower frames? Then that you say it's a slightly different lower frames. Is one sit a little lower or something, or what?
Yeah, the profile on the lower frames, they kind of I don't even know how to explain. You've seen those, Steve, haven't you? They have like,
it's like a shape. That's all.
Yeah, like it's the profile. Like one of them goes down further than the other, kind of thing. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all aesthetics. Really, it's not anything functional in any way, shape, or form. And it kind of makes sense because when you look at the design of one canopy style versus the other, the frame that angles itself up, like that doesn't have the same low profile, kind of blends in better with that squared off canopy, whereas the frame that has that lower profile view blends itself better with the longer, pointier canopy. It's just all aesthetics.
Okay. I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Talking on the Tron subject, didn't they recently have a poll for like we want some feedback. What colors do you want for your kits? And did they actually pick colors that were voted the most?
I don't think they've decided it as of this recording, but by the time you guys get your heads out of your butts and you release the episode, it'll be decided.
Yeah. I feel that one.
That's a stab in the knee. Darren loved that one. Darren, no, oh, they, I you know feel what? That one. Darren loved that one. No, but you know what? but you know what? They're the first manufacturer that actually did this, and I think this is cool because they asked me, and I know they asked people at Rotor Life, "Do you like this?" Okay, so they decided that the pointy version of it, the Orion, is going to be orange, right? And it's going to be clear coated because some of the previous drones have been like matte, and you know, matte is kind of a low hate. Matte looks really cool for a while, and then after you've owned it for a couple months, you're like, I wish it was glossy, right?
Yeah.
So they decided the Orion is going to be orange because orange is a very popular color. It's highly visible in the air, and they're just going to do orange, and it's going to be clear coated, and it's going to look this way. But then they were like not undecided about the other one, the more square finished thing, the Gemini. And they asked, what color do you like? And I said, well, I don't care, like whatever. And they asked a bunch of people, and they're like, you know what? We're just going to put it up to a vote. So as of this recording, if you go to Facebook and you search for Tron Helicopters, you'll find a post where there's a link to, I think it's a Survey Monkey website or something, where you can vote for the color of your choice. And that's the color that they're going to release for the Gemini version of the 5.5. So there's an orange, and which I think orange will be, no offense, I think orange will be stupid, because if the Orion is orange, why release the Gemini? It would make no sense. So, but there's an orange, and then there's a green, and there's the pink and white, or pink and blue, I forgot, and like a blue and red. There's a bunch of options, and they all look pretty cool. So, I mean, whatever option they pick, I think will be cool. But I think it's nice that they're letting people like vote for whatever people vote for. I think the vote closes Thursday, the 28th of March. So again, like 2.5 months before the release of the episode, Darren. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's two, Bert.
That's okay.
That's
I'll take
two.
That.
Okay.
I'll own it.
I know. I'll close it at three. I'll find a third option and then I'll end it. I won't. Keep talking on it. All good. I think it's cool that how many manufacturers really do that? Not a lot.
No, you're right.
I think that's kind of cool. That's cool.
I think it was a great idea.
I mean, yeah. Maybe SAB Enrico would get a hint. Hello, Enrico. Are you listening? El Goblin needs a vote. Needs a vote. Yeah, that
dude,
would be
it's
cool.
It's the rocking. It's the rockin'.
The rockin'?
Yeah, the raw crackin'. So the rockin'.
Oh, I like that. That's kind of cool. I like that. Yeah, I like that. I like that the boom is not as like it's not as freaking huge. It's a more refined version of any other Kraken / Goblin molded type boom from before, right? I like that. That's pretty cool. And I like that it's clear coated. I'm kind of done with the matte finish. I really am. I'm kind of done with the matte.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. I like that extra clear coat to shine in the sunlight when you're taking pictures.
I know. And like, you know, when the first Kraken, I think it was the...
No, was it was the Kraken.
Frank, you were doing the raffles at the hangout. Yeah.
Hey, why do we have to bring that shit back up, man?
It was
the Havoc.
Yes, the Havoc and the I can't think of the name. The Drake, I think, was the orange, and the Havoc was the yellow.
The yellow,
or the other way around.
It was the digital yellow camo, I remember.
Yeah. But those helis in matte, I remember when SAB released them, they looked amazing. I was like, this is so dope. Different. It was like, yeah. But I feel like now it's like, okay, enough. Yeah. Like, I like my clear coat again, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, especially when they released the Kraken, the original Kraken in orange, remember? Like, it was matte too, and it was really cool. But then, like, but it's
some
been years, and by now
some
it's like
clear coated, and you saw clear coated, you're like, wow, that thing looks even better.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Anyway. So what else was at Roto Live? I mean, obviously, the SAB was a big announcement. Tron was a big announcement. But what else? What are those other things that's got to be notable to me, you know?
I mean, to be blatantly honest, I hate to say it. I know Miniature Aircraft announced a new machine as well. I'm not very familiar with what Joseph is doing with that. I kind of missed a lot of that because I was super busy. And they were like at the very end of the hallway on the same floor we were. But I was like helping the Tron guys with demos and this and that. And then I got dragged into helping Augie with this seminar. And like there was a lot of stuff going on. So we were super busy. But I know Miniature was doing something. I got to spend some time with Jeff, the owner of OMP, and Jonas, the designer of the M7. That was kind of cool. I got to see their heli and talk to Jonas a little bit about his ideas with regards to the design and why he's doing it the way he did it, and this and that. So that was cool. And, I mean, that's not new news, but I think it's due to be released. Okay, this is Jap number 3. Before the episode is released, but
that was good.
Good job there, and I promise. But no, I think it's due to be like released. If I heard it correctly, like end of March, maybe. I think. Anyway, the OMP M7 was cool, and then I mean there were a lot of cool things. You know, Mikado was there with their new. So the funniest thing, I'm not going to say who said this, but when I got back home to the US, somebody I know well that is around me most of the time, it's not my wife for the record, looked at the new, so Mikado is releasing a new flight controller that has airspeed. Is it an airspeed? You know what I'm talking about, Frank?
Yeah, it's the big one. It's for planes.
Anyway, somebody made a joke that now they have the exposed hole so that when you need to add CA to glue your board, you don't have to take.
That's so bad, and I feel so bad that it happens to them, but. I can't control
it. I think it's funny because, hey, they can embrace it because they know they got the market. So, and well deserved to them. But no, so they had that stuff. What else was there? There's a lot of stuff. Just nothing really. Hobby Wing is really. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I know Hobby Wing, and I don't know if they showed them at the show. Hobby Wing is working on some cool stuff too. Yeah, really cool stuff. There's going to be two new items coming from Hobby Wing really soon. I don't know if they announced it at the show or I was told it and given a couple of them like behind closed doors. I really don't want to say much about that. But then there was and then Kyle Dole, of course, was there for Scorpion with a lot of cool stuff and a lot of news. I didn't get a chance to see much about what Kyle Dole was doing. But I know he's coming out with some really cool, interesting stuff. And Kyle is like, I've known that kid since he was like very young. And, Kyle's awesome. Like he's really taken Scorpion like his baby, right? Like he's really enjoying what he's doing and wanting to follow the legacy of, George, Uncle George, as I call him. And then what else? Nothing really. I mean, the Goose Guy guys were there. The typical stuff. The Exnova guys were there. Again, Kyle Dole with Scorpion. And then a few dealers from Germany that sell stuff. World of Heli, the SAB distributor, they were there selling helis. And, it's usually an event that carries a lot of traffic. I mean, I don't know this year how many people they had in attendance, but in previous years, I remember a year they had over 20 some thousand people over the weekend,
Oh, wow.
Going there. So yeah, it's a big event. So no, it was fun. I learned this year that the German laws for flying have changed. So I had to pass a 60-question test in German about the German laws of aeromodeling. And I had to like answer, like study all the stupid stuff and answer all these questions so that I could get my German equivalent AMA certification so that they would allow me to fly. Yeah. And wow. And let me tell you, they're not as bad as us because they don't have remote ID like we do, which I think is totally stupid, the remote ID thing. But they're pretty strict over there. They're pretty bad. They're almost to the point of us. I think it's surprising that they're not as bad as we are, but they're almost there. Like there's a lot of red tape and a lot of stuff going on. With the regulations and everything else regarding modeling and where to fly, where not to fly, what to do, what not to do. And yeah, it's a big mess. So I learned that's changed a lot because again, when I was there the last time, you just talked to some dude and he's like, okay, yeah, you have an AMA. And he would see the US based, you know, Academy of Model Aeronautics card. And he would just give you the German equivalent. Now you got to pass this test. And all this stuff, so
kind of crazy. Sounds like Canada.
I know Kyle had a German dude do it for him, cheater.
Yeah,
little shit. Yeah, and I had. To
I
do
mean,
it
like
myself.
Tom and Baba, like all those months. Guys came from you know Southeast Asia. I have a feeling they probably didn't fill out that stuff themselves.
No, I'm sure they did, but somebody helped them. But I don't think this is something new as of like 2024. I think this is more like as of like 22, maybe 23. So they probably already did it last year or the year before. I just hadn't been since before COVID. So I, you know, it was new to me, you know, so yeah.
Nice.
Well, you come to Canada, you'll have to do the same thing.
Really?
And the worst part is our the exam for out here, 90% of the questions have nothing to do with RC.
That's kind of like what the German exam was. Like there was a section about drones and like cameras and this and that and like who you can video, who you cannot. And I'm like, I'm flying a freaking demo for like 2.5 minutes today and 2.5 minutes tomorrow. And do I need to answer a question about who to video or who to, like, I don't have a camera on my freaking thing. The line of sight model, they don't care. Like it's, they don't have a distinction. It's like, they're just as dumb as our government. All governments in the world are dumb. Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah, well, they want to see it the way they see it, and that's it. It's written in stone that that's what it is. It's a drone. To them, it's all drone. Whether it has a camera, whether it can go 10 miles, whether it can only go 200 feet, whether it has to be line of sight, it's doing 3D, or it's capable of flying for an hour because it has that kind of range, or it's capable of flying for 2.5 minutes, they don't care. It's all the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No. One of the questions on the test here in Canada has to do with the radio communication frequencies for your local tower. Another question literally has to do with full scale aircraft airframes, like nothing to do with RC at all. Period. It's really frustrating.
Yeah.
So
where the world is headed.
Yeah. Yep. I've spoken too much about it on this podcast already, so I'm not gonna. I'll try not to say too much more.
I know. No need to go there again. No need.
All right, let's move it on. Someone wrote this here. Now it wasn't me, so I'm not, but I'll ask the question just because it's written here. So, inquiring minds want to know who actually runs BK Hobbies. We've been hearing some muddling of the. Folks in the lower levels of BK Hobbies talking about someone named Andy Ross might be the actual leadership of this fine establishment. So can we just
Well, Andy made an executive decision outside of my approval nor my knowledge during the RCHO
chill out
event. Chill out. Where he declared himself the ruler of or the decision maker. Yeah, you were there. You remember?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That's a hostile takeover. That's what that is.
Yeah, it was a hostile takeover. In fact, there's a video circulating somewhere on the internet, the interwebs, about the whole meeting. Yeah.
Oh boy, that's for sure. Damn. Okay, so it is true then. All right, I guess
you heard it here first.
So yeah, you heard it here first, like Javier likes to say.
Have you explained this to the listeners? Do they know what we're talking about?
Well, we actually had Jay Treadway and Tanner on our last episode. So
okay.
It has been discussed. Just to reiterate
for folks that might not have listened to that episode. So yeah, there was a hostile takeover during the chill out where Andy Ross has declared himself the sole, man on top,
decision maker. Decision maker.
The buck stop here. It goes Andy, right?
So he said he said he was first. He was first. Yeah,
so Andy's first, and then it was Susie, right?
Yeah, he said Susie was number two. Of course.
And then
I think it was the board. I don't know who the board was.
No. Super. And then the board, right?
Oh, the board. Yeah, and then. Yeah, and then the team. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the board and then the team. So, right. Yeah. Which is a weird interaction when you have a team guy like Andy hostile takeover and just jump the line right to the top, So it's a very interesting story.
Andy's a hilarious dude, man. I love Andy to death.
We've become drunk. Oh my goodness.
Like you and Andy go way back. Longer than we have, but Andy and I have become good friends in the last year or two, hanging out here and there. And I never had a chance to spend time with Andy like I have in the last couple of years. And I love the guy to death. Like he's awesome. Andy's absolutely. Just don't feed him too much alcohol for sure. Don't, because he doesn't drink though. That's the problem. When he drinks, it doesn't take anything. It's like done, game over. Yeah, and then he's a funny drunk though. He's not aggressive. He's
a happy drunk. So right now is the time to get him drunk.
He's not aggressive. He's not obnoxious. He's just funny. Yeah, he's just a funny dude.
Yeah, he's a good drunk right now. So awesome. All right. Do you guys have anything else for Bert?
No, I think I'm good.
Awesome.
Same here.
All right. So, Bert, if people want to get in touch with you, how would they do that? If they got questions about BK Hobbies, some brands, some stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't have Facebook Messenger enabled on my Facebook page. And I apologize, people, but literally I got to the point where I was getting well over 150 messages a day. So I shut that down. So the best way is just to go to support.bkhobbies.com and submit a request and ask for Bert. And believe it or not, I do monitor that. But that gives me a little bit more, I wouldn't call it flexibility. It just doesn't ping my phone 24/7. Holidays, weekends, Tuesdays, Thursdays, what I mean? So I can check it, which I check it every day, Monday through Friday. So I'll get back to you if you go that way. And you can get a hold of me and or any of the guys that are helping me with support. I got three guys helping with support can help you. But if you ask for Bert, I promise you I'll read it and I'll personally reply to your request. No problem. Whether it is like a help thing about your setup or a question about this or that or when this is coming out or if I'm going here or if you need anything, like I'm always available to help for sure.
Yeah, let's talk on that real quick. What is your next events you plan on going to?
So Darren is talking me into going to California.
Do it. Come on.
Do it. That's a good one. Ken Marshall's is a good great event. Ken's good people.
I know, man. I really, really want to go. I really want to go. It's just a matter of...
Book it.
It's in 3 weeks.
Are you going, Steve?
I can't. I can't afford it. Not this year. But next year, I'm like,
oh,
really.
Oh, what a afford. It's on the calendar for it. Afford it's on the calendar for next year. All right, Frank. Frank, let's go to California, Frank.
Nope. Way too many liberals out there, man. All right,
let's go. Me getting a,
there'd be way too many liberals.
The weather would suit
What's
you.
What's wrong with liberals? What if I'm a liberal? You have a problem with liberal?
You're not a liberal. Huh?
Far from it, dude. You used to own an armory.
Yeah, you still you own love the guns too much to be yeah. a liberal.
But he does drive an electric car.
You can be a gun guy and still be a liberal. Yeah, yeah.
Bert, you're more of a Trump fan than I am. Okay.
No, I hate the dude. The dude is an idiot. He killed himself. Oh my He's God. Ruined himself. No, you can be a liberal and a conservative at the same time. You know this, right? You can be both.
No,
that's a libertarian.
Yep, you can.
That's a communist. No. Comunista. No. Comunista.
No. No. Far from it. Far from it. No. California. Yeah. I'm gonna try my best to go to California, but if I cannot go to if I go to California, I can't do Spring Fling. I can't do both. Sure, yeah, that's gonna be tough because they're within 2 weeks of each other, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So either California or Spring Fling, 100% sure I'm going to IRCHA.
Yep.
I've been asked by a couple people, and I might, it's a long trip, but I might go to England to Helifest in Weston Park. Cool. That's an amazing event. And then I already said IRCHA. Oh, I think I'm going to Joe Knoll in May for Theta Servos for the airplane side of things. And then skip forward past IRCHA would be HeliX. Of course, I can't miss that one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the Mowdown, if I go to Spring Fling, I won't do Mowdown. If I go to California and I miss the Spring Fling, then I will do Mowdown. And then maybe the Fall Pool. And then, of course, the Torches Winter Bash. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So it's debatable on a few events, but at least five more this year for sure.
Nice.
It's cool. That's not that many. That's pretty lame, isn't it? I used to do, it was a year back, I think it was 2014, I did 36 in 1 year.
Yeah, hey, if you don't do like 12 to 15, you're not really in the hobby.
Shit.
I agree, you gotta do at least 10. You gotta do 10.
Yeah, 10's a respectable number.
You're getting good, strong six out of me this year. I already did three of them.
Now, if you live in Miami, you might as well live in Panama or in Colombia because you're far away from everything. So if you do five or six,
got that right.
You're lucky. You know, you did that's a big effort.
It's like Darren coming down from Canada.
Like, I was going to say the same, but I already gave Darren too much shit, so I got to slow down.
That's okay. I can handle it. I'm Canadian.
They're used to the abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not used to fighting back either.
Do you know, have there actually been dates set for the Winter Bash too?
Let me double check the dates.
Because I have been thinking about that one too.
Yeah, I don't want to spill out. I think it's 6, 7, and 8, but let me triple check before I run my mouth.
Shucks.
Yeah, 6, 7, and 8 of December.
Shucks. Yeah. That might be too early for me. Okay.
Yeah, it's always too early. It's too late.
No, all these excuses.
That's a very difficult time of year because, you know, the calendar, the dates, they always, it's always difficult because there's always this debate if to do it right before the Thanksgiving weekend, right after, or to do it 2 weekends after Thanksgiving. But depending on how the dates fall, sometimes if you do it 2 weekends after Thanksgiving, then you're too close to Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Right. So this year, the 2 weekends after Thanksgiving would be the 14th, 15th. But Christmas is literally 8, 9 days later. So they decided to do it the weekend after Thanksgiving, which is the 6, 7, and 8. Yeah. So
well, you guys in the U.S. do your Thanksgiving at the wrong time of year anyways. So that's just your own fault.
Yeah, I know. That's the pilgrim's fault, not mine. Yeah.
No, for me, because I was actually thinking of trying for last year too, and it was a similar problem as what for my holidays. I usually save as much of my holiday time for December because I just plain don't like working December. But unfortunately, usually it ends up being around the 8th or the 9th kind of a thing, maybe the 10th, that I finally get to start my holidays. And so, yeah, that first weekend is just a little bit too quickly for me. But, oh, well, that's okay.
Well, if you're starting it on the 8th, you can certainly start it on the 6th.
Yeah, well, we'll see. This year, especially with me going down to the Ken Marshall one, and then I've already gone on record of saying I'm going to try for Heli X this year as well. Probably not
going to make Urcha. So much fun.
That's probably not going to make Urcha, but I am going to try for Heli X this year. And I don't know, after talking with Jay and Tanner last month, fall pull sure sounds appealing.
RCHO is addicting, bro.
It sure sounds appealing, but problem is getting to there is just as bad as getting to Miami, which is a long day of air travel, and that's the frustrating thing. So we'll see. I'm still trying to figure things out.
So, Darren, seriously, if you can go to the Heli X, do it.
Yeah,
do it.
That's one of those ones. Triple Tree is like one of those bucket list places.
Yeah. It's a big event, yet it's not big enough to be. You know, some events can be too big and they can be annoying. Mm-hmm. Well, that's usually not the case in the hobby anymore, unfortunately. But, you know, Urcha, for example, you know, yeah, if you've never been to Urcha, you have to go to Urcha.
It's a whirlwind.
Yeah. But it's one of those that I tell people, like, if you've been once or twice, like, and you have to make a choice, Urcha or Heli X, just go to Heli X.
Yeah.
If you already experienced Urcha, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Can only do one. Yeah, it's like Heli X to me.
And that's exactly what my thought was, because I did Urcha last year, and so I was thinking, yeah, I'd rather do Urcha this year than I'll try for Heli X. But anyways, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, awesome.
Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know how you guys usually end a show.
Yeah, we're going to do this quick and easy way this time.
Frank, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah.
The Hangout, of course. Where else would you find me?
On Facebook.
Which Hangout? There is another RC Heli Hangout with like 400 members.
Yeah.
No, there's four. There's four. No, there's four of them. Yeah, there's four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Invitations, something flattery, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the, Bunch of clones. Bunch of clones. Fuck them clones.
We need to do another live thing, Frank, about clones. I don't know.
Oh, yeah? That's a good one.
Yes.
Yes.
Why not?
Dude, we got so many many views on there.
Oh, man.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. We have to do it. Anyway.
Yeah. Reach out to Hangout for Frank, right? Yeah?
Yeah. That's the best way to catch me.
Yeah. Facebook for me as well. Steve Yun, Y-U-N, Facebook. You'll see my videos. You'll see me on there. Yeah. What about you, Darren?
Cool. You can try Facebook, you know, but as I said, I don't check my Messenger very often, and I don't have Messenger.
He's old school like Bert, only likes to get emails.
Yep. So rcheliDarren@gmail.com.
Awesome.
There you go.
And that's it.
All right. Thanks for listening.
See y'all later.
Thank you for having me, guys. See ya.
Thanks for coming, Bert.
Bloopers and outtakes. Bloopers and outtakes.
And there was much rejoicing.
You haven't started already? So are we really having this old guy again? Jesus Christ.
We're kind of desperate for
I hate this shit. I always hate
it. Oh my God, you're so loud.
Jesus Yo, Christ. Hello!
Holy fuck.
Damn.
Wait, because my levels are not...
No, your levels are all over the world, dude. I thought you knew.
Shut up. Let me figure this out because Discord has pissed me off tonight. I've been
Discord sucks balls.
I thought you were, aren't you like a computer scientist, like a computer engineer?
I used to be, not anymore because this stupid shit. Are you human? 87 fucking times. All right, hold on. Testing. Tell me when to stop. Right, I'm going up. 3 or 4 months ago, I do because I've been flying a lot lately.
That's good. Yeah, nice.
Oh, did we lose Bert?
Did we lose Bert again? I lost you guys.
Yeah,
again. Lost you guys.
No, that's cool. You got you back. Hello, Bert.
Where's Bert?
Bert needs better internet.
I got you again.
All right.
He has that shaggy internet.
Mute it. The internet is so bad. Like, right now, I can't hear him at all.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like, it's my turn to talk.
We hear you fine. I hear you fine. There.
Are you guys hearing me at all?
Yeah,
I hear you perfectly. Fine.
Bert, you're not hearing me.
I can hear you now.
Okay. I don't know what happened.
I'm just having internet. I'm having internet issues. Wonderful.
Oh,
it's far from, you know, Orlando to Canada. So.
Yes, it is. So, anyways, yeah. So I...